Hello, everybody. Thank you for listening to the one and only official Let's Digress podcast. For more information, jump over to the website, which is letsdigress.com. You can fill out a contact form, maybe say hi to me. And that's really about it. You can read some other stuff there too, or listen to the podcast on the website, but it might just be easier to listen to it on the podcast app. But read stuff, listen to them both together. That would even be awesome. I hear people tend to learn quicker and more if they read what they're listening to while they're reading. But I don't know how accurate that is. But it has to be accurate, right? I mean, it's on the internet now, so it's legitimate. Today, I'll be reading from the hit post, Wanna Know a Secret? Don't want no mediocre. I don't want no mediocre, no. That is a phrase I heard for the first time recently. Shortly after hearing those words, I did some creative Googling and discovered that they were in fact lyrics to an excessively vulgar, belligerent, and demeaning tune from the hip-hop rap artist T.I. The ironic part of this event was in the setting of what was going on while the song was playing loudly in the background. This song was the motivational audio to a video of someone giving life advice about how to be a better person, how to become successful, and how to get what one wants out of life, because, well, life owes it to us and we deserve it, obviously. To fully understand the irony, though, we would need to look up the lyrics and read them for everyone. But they won't be posted on here, due to this being a family-friendly blog, website, and podcast. Disclaimer, though, don't look it up or listen to it if you have sensitive eyes, sensitive ears, or reasonable morals. Sounds reassuring. This kind of logic follows a similar, if not the very same vein, of another popular ideology. The secret. What is the secret? Well, Rhonda Byrne, a talk show producer, discovered what the secret was a few years ago, and now, thanks to the book, DVD, and the convenience of being able to stream it on Netflix, we can all know what that secret is, too. An article from Christianity Today explained the secret as simply the law of attraction. Think about wealth, and you will become wealthy. Think about that new car, and it will come. Think about getting a good parking spot, and one will open up. Think about your ideal weight. Really, dwell on that number. Write it on your scale, write it on your mirror, write it everywhere. And you will attract that reality to yourself. Thoughts are magnetic, and thoughts have a frequency. The book assures us, as you think, those thoughts are sent out into the universe, and they magnetically attract all like things that are on the same frequency. Everything sent out returns to the source, and that source is you. That sounds really nice. The problem, though, is that it's emotional pornography. To understand what emotional pornography is, we first need to explain what traditional porn is, rather, what it does to the brain. When we engage in coital behavior, our brains release chemicals, dopamine, norepinephrine, oxytocin, vasopressin, endorphins, and serotonin, which literally bind our brain to whomever or whatever we're involved with. When coital behavior takes place in a functional relationship appropriately as it was originally designed to, it's wonderful and dandy, and those chemicals and hormones are released the way they're supposed to be, forming a mutual bond to the other person, resulting in long-term desire and longing for that other person. However, with the erotic stimuli that one finds while watching pornographic paraphernalia, the chemical and hormonal release is disproportionate, thus forming the high, leading to addiction to the pornographic experience itself. Emotional porn has a similar effect on the brain, just without the sexually explicit element. Emotional porn happens with books, movies, belief systems, and sometimes dysfunctional relationships. For something to qualify as emotional porn, it has to be geared towards eliciting a falsely based emotional response. Essentially, we get the feeling of security, belonging, happiness, intimacy, wholeness, etc., without ever actually having any of it. The porn addict may feel fulfilled and have some fictional sense of intimacy, but it's temporary and only lasts until the chemical and hormonal high subsides. Then the cycle starts all over again, but with the caveat of the satisfaction bar being set higher than the previous experiences, similar to how drug users build up a tolerance to the substance and require a more potent dose for the subsequent uses to achieve the same high. Same thing happens all the time with people who are on prescription painkillers. Their bodies get used to it, and to get the same amount of pain relief, they have to increase the dose. Regardless, in both cases, any amount of critical thinking will unveil what it really is, a work of fiction. The experiences are fake, hollow, a facade, vacant of any real density. Basically, it's the brain's chemical equivalent of empty calories. It feels good for a minute, but ultimately of no value and is more detrimental to the person than it is beneficial. Ideologies like The Secret are emotional porn. The feel-good, inspirational pictures and videos on social media that once thought about don't actually make sense with reality and are discovered to be self-centered or morally incorrect are emotional porn. Once again, for something to qualify as emotional porn, it needs to be geared towards electing a falsely based emotional response. There's another element in The Secret, though, that isn't necessarily in those feel-good social media posts. The Secret also contains a hefty amount of entitlement. For argument's sake, entitlement is going to be defined in this post as the belief that someone has the unmerited right to something, is inherently deserving of privileges or special treatment, or is too good or above something of which they are not. It's an inaccurate inflation of self and an incorrect view of reality. In his book, The Entitlement Cure, Dr. John Townsend elaborates on just how debilitating entitlement is to a person. He says, and here's a giant block quote for those of you keeping track at home, "One of the most limiting ideas of entitlement thinking is that the end goal of life is happiness. I just want to be happy. That's all. Entitlement says that the highest good is to be a happy person, but in fact, that is one of the worst in-game goals we can have. People who have happiness as their goal get locked into the pain-pleasure motivation cycle. They never do what causes them pain, but always do what brings them pleasure. This puts us on the same thinking level as a child who has difficulty seeing past his or her fear of pain and love of pleasure. There's nothing wrong with happiness, but in a healthy life, happiness comes as a byproduct of doing what you love, having purpose, and giving back. Happiness is a byproduct to enjoy, not a dream to seize." End quote. That came from page 66 of The Entitlement Cure. Once again, it's by Dr. John Townsend. In an interview with CBN, Dr. Henry Cloud talked about The Secret. Dr. Cloud called it a huge cultural phenomenon and is classic New Age philosophy. The Secret is about getting what one wants in life. It looks beyond a logical and practical plan to reach one's goals because the universe is allegedly governed by the law of attraction, law of vibration, etc. Yes, the universe does have real spiritual realities that govern it. However, The Secret says that we are God. We're all our own God, ruling our own lives with ultimate authority and attracting back to us whatever thoughts and vibrations we put into the universe. Well, we're not, nor does the universe work like that. Dr. Cloud insisted that this is all evidence that we are searching for something greater than ourselves and long to be connected to someone greater. The law of attraction and law of vibration declare that what one thinks will attract like things back to the original source, the thinker, because thoughts are magnetic, in a state of motion, and on certain metaphysical frequencies. Example. If someone thinks hard enough about becoming a millionaire, focuses all of their thoughts on becoming a millionaire day and night, hangs assorted pictures of money around the house in easy-to-see places, even goes so far as to put a picture of money on a vision board or a dream board to ensure that it's constantly in the forefront of their mind, then eventually they will become millionaires. All because those are the vibrations and thoughts they're sending out into the universe, and since thoughts attract physical things, eventually it will come because the universe is governed by the law of attraction and law of vibration. If everything that happens in the universe really is attracted by thoughts and vibrations, does this also mean that car accidents, pancreatitis, broken bones, congenital defects, bankruptcy, flat tires, mental disorders, waking up late for work, untimely deaths of friends, or spilling coffee on oneself is the fault of our thoughts too? Does it mean that we are subconsciously or consciously, thinking about all of those things and therefore brought them into reality? Can the universe differentiate between our conscious, subconscious, intentional, and unintentional thoughts and vibrations? Better question. Can people send their thoughts and mental vibrations towards others and alter those realities too? This happens on social media all the time. I'm sending positive thoughts to you. You're in my thoughts. I could really use some positive energy and positive thoughts right now, just to name a few. People who subscribe to this kind of ideology will usually freak out or shut down when they perceive what they're becoming involved in something negative. It doesn't actually have to be something negative or bad, they just have to think that it is. They'll say things like, "Hey, keep your negative energy away from me. I don't want to talk about my destructive behavior, so I'm not inviting you or your negative energy into my life. I won't let your negative thoughts into my space and affect my reality. Keep that away from me and keep it to yourself." There are several things wrong with this kind of thinking, obviously. To start with, each person does not have their own reality. There is just reality, life, and everybody is part of it. An individual cannot make up rules for their own universe just because it feels better than what reality actually is. So, subscribers of this ideology might say, if our thoughts and vibrations are powerless, then what about the power of an idea? Ideas can change reality. Just look at the light bulb. That all came from an idea. Apple was all started from an idea. Well, for an idea to change physical reality, it has to have action from the person thinking the thoughts to follow it. The light bulb and MacBook did not come into existence because Thomas Edison and Steve Jobs just sat and thought really hard about it materializing in front of them. They had to go and do the physical work. In his book, Integrity, Dr. Cloud elaborates on this process of doing the work, which he calls ready, aim, fire. One has to prepare, perform due diligence, assess the risks, refrain from impulsive behavior, take time to learn about the field, focus on the goal and how to achieve it, and then pull the trigger once all the research is done and variables are accounted for. That came from page 147 of Dr. Cloud's book, Integrity. Success in life comes from doing the legwork and making smart decisions, not from simply thinking certain thoughts with good intentions for oneself. The Secret and other such philosophies promise that one can get everything they want out of life. They can have it all if they just think hard enough and send out the right vibrations. Did somebody just say, "That sounds like emotional porn, Adam"? Thanks to this New Age ideology, the cultural understanding of practicality and mediocrity have also been eroded into something new entirely. According to Webster, practical is defined as relating to what is real rather than to what is possible or imagined, likely to succeed and reasonable to do so, and appropriate or suited for actual use. Mediocre is defined as of moderate or low quality, value, ability, or performance. However, culturally speaking, mediocre and practical are generally synonymous, especially in the groups of those who have adopted The Secret and similar ideologies as their primary blueprint for life. It's quite the paradoxical cycle. Everyone can be practical if they choose to be, and if everyone can do it, then it must be easy. If it's easy, then everyone can have it. If everyone can have it, then it makes mine less valuable, which also means that my status with having it is more on level with everybody else's since they all have it too, which makes mine less valuable. So, if everyone can have it, then it has to be mediocre, and since everyone's default setting is to go with easy and mediocre, therefore, if it is practical, it must be mediocre, and I deserve better than that because I'm special. But the paradox still continues. The Secret, entitlement, and similar ideologies all indicate that it should be easy, and that you deserve to have it. Success, money, whatever. Whatever you want out of life, you deserve to have them all come to you. But not everybody else. Just you. It should be easy only for you, not for everyone else. It is impressively self-centered, regardless of the arguments its followers make to the contrary. The followers often defend with, "I want to have the Lamborghini so I can help people by Ubering with it." I want to have lots of material possessions so I can better help people in some vague and unqualified way. Once I have it all, I'll be so good at helping others because I'll have greater means to help others. I just want to be happy and to help every single person to the best of my ability in every way, and I'll be the best when I have more money, a nicer car, a bigger house, and find happiness. But there's a problem with that kind of thinking. So, it means the problem is that means and material possessions do not change who a person inherently is. They only magnify one's internal demeanor. If someone is a binge spender making $30,000 per year, then they will still be a binge spender while making $90,000 per year. If someone is arrogant, self-centered, and unwilling to help others, then they will still be arrogant, self-centered, and unwilling to help others after their means are enhanced. If someone doesn't give their friends short-notice rides when they need them while driving their Nissan Sentra, then they most likely won't give short-notice rides to friends when they have a Lambo. If someone doesn't radically donate their money, if any at all, to the needy while making $30,000 per year, then they probably won't donate any money while making $90,000 per year. Apart from a character-based catalyst happening to cause an internal change in the person, they will live life with exactly the same character and behavior once success finds them, if it ever does. Outside factors, meaning success, means, material possessions, don't change one's internal and inherent qualities. One's inherent qualities are only changed from the inside with the help from a greater structure and support system that are both found outside of oneself, such as divine prodding from God with the support system of a close, spiritually mature, and God-centered people. Recap. The Secret and other such ideologies are self-centered and morally insidious. We cannot alter our or anyone else's reality based on our thoughts, vibrations, or the intentions we send into the universe. Our thoughts are powerless in and of themselves. Physical action has to follow for them to get any traction. Means, wealth, success, and material possessions do not change who a person is on the inside. They only magnify what is already there. Similar to how poor people who win the lottery generally go back to being poor shortly after winning the lottery. It doesn't, money and wealth and whatever don't change your current behavior. It just doesn't work that way. We share reality with everyone. We don't get our own mini-universe with a set rules specifically crafted by us and for us. So, where does this leave us if we really are powerless to control our universe and those around us with our thoughts? Well, our internal brain wiring is looked at on a deeper level. It's easy to see that we're all designed to be codependent. We see the negative sides of codependency every day. People who are dysfunctional and codependent with others, they're trapped in a cycle of bad choices and less than desirable behavior. But what if codependency were designed to be different? What if it wasn't a question of if we are codependent or not, but a question of who we are codependent with? We humans are designed to be in community with other humans. Life is not meant to be lived in solitude or in a vacuum. On a different level, though, what if we were codependent on God? Well, we already discovered how self-centered, incoherent, and broken these New Age ideologies are. We also discovered how we cannot change our inherent qualities on our own. Sure, we might be able to change our behavior for a short period of time, but that will only last until we forget, become inconvenienced, or when we don't think it's beneficial for us anymore. To change our character, we must look to a flawless system outside of our own feeble abilities that is greater than ourselves, since we are literally incapable of making genuine, permanent change on our own. We just don't have a sense in us to do so. It's not how we're wired, it's not how things work. Ideologies like The Secret are further evidence that we're looking to fill the God-shaped hole in our lives, that we're looking for something bigger than ourselves. The question now turns to, what are we aligning ourselves with? Followed by, will we continue to pretend that we are our own self-centered God controlling our realities with our thoughts and our vibrations? Or will we alter our behavior and look to the only God for answers and success, and then be changed from the inside out for the betterment of everyone? And even if you take out the God side of this entire thing, it still doesn't change the fact that ideologies like The Secret are entirely self-serving, selfish, morally and ethically repulsive, and primarily centered around solving middle-class concerns. Bigger houses, better cars, more money, etc. The Secret and life the way God intended it to be are mutually exclusive. Both cannot be correct. The values of living out a God-centered life are completely opposite of what The Secret ideologies value. There is no way around it. It's an either-or situation. To pretend that both can coexist and both be correct is naive, foolish, and further evidence that our character is warped and desperately needs to be changed. So, long story short, emotional porn and entitlement are like destructive lovers, exacerbating each other's worst qualities and disrupting everyone around them in their wake. The Secret and other such ideologies are the marriage of these destructive lovers. Once again, that was from the post called Wanna Know a Secret. For more information and stuff, please go to the Let's Digress website and poke around, maybe send me an email or something. We'll have more stuff up soon. Once again, I'm Adam, your delightfully awkward host. And now I need to stop talking and end this thing again. I really need to get better at these endings. Alright, music's going to fade in or something. I don't know what it's going to be yet. I'm going to figure some enjoyable music to play as things fade out. Stand by.